Good morning and welcome to Renovating in WA. I'm Sally Barker. Joining me on the show today is Sue Daly from Into Property and Ryan Jones from Glow Landscaping. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now today, obviously, we're talking landscaping.
Yes, we are. The art of landscaping.
That's right.
The art of landscaping. And often it's something that is overlooked when we're renovating.
It actually is one of the biggest things that's overlooked, actually. People forget about, we've spoken to Gilly about the outdoor living area, the patios and the outdoor kitchen, but then we forget to finish dressing up the rest of the property. And you've got to remember that the landscaping is what finishes it. Mm. So this is where we are actually finishing off that property and again, something that you can do long term. So, I mean, as we were saying, landscaping is not just the green stuff. So it's not just your plants. It's where you can actually be a little bit more creative and get some colour out there as well. Mm. So it is, we've talked about decorating the windows. Well, this is decorating the outdoor space and making it that little oasis that you want.
So what do we need to know from the very, very beginning?
Plan it.
Yep.
And it can get expensive. So spend money on things that are going to last.
Right.
I.e. your paving and your retaining walls.
Correct.
And you can go easy on the plants because you can buy small ones and they grow and get big. So.
Yep, plan it, design it. Mm. Again, we're talking about planning it out, designing it. Talk to the actual trades that are involved in it. Get suggestions from them. They've done a lot of these jobs, so they've got great ideas for plants that might suit. So, I mean, someone like me, I don't do plants. I'm sorry. I can do buildings. I'm good with a sledgehammer, but I don't do plants. I need help for plants. So that's where, Ryan comes in and he helps me and he says, well, this is the ideal plant you want. If you want shade, if you want a ground cover, or if you just want a screening for the fence, something like that, this is where they suggest the right plants for you. So definitely do the research. Mm. Again, look at the functionality of the area, which is what we've talked about every step of the way, and what you're doing it for, whether you do just need something low maintenance for the area or that's whether you do want a feature. So there's so many options, many options.
So we say the pavers and the retaining walls, that's your hardscaping. Is that what we're talking
correct,
about?
Correct, yeah.
Okay. So when we are designing, what are some of the things we need to be aware of? When we are planning, what do we need to be aware of so that we don't waste our money?
Future-proofing it.
And what does that mean?
So let's say you're going to do some liquid limestone out the back underneath your nice new patio. Make sure there's conduit run underground for reticulation, possibly
electric
lighting and stuff like that, so you're not ripping it up or cutting it up to get it in underneath later on.
So this is that, planning ahead. So if you're thinking later on you might want a water feature out in the middle of your lawn at some stage, but you're not going to do it now, that's where, once you've got that paving down or that liquid limestone, which once it's down, it's down, you don't want to start making a mess. So, future planning, this is thinking about the end result. So even if you're not going to do it all in the first moment, make sure you've got that plan. So electrical works, reticulation is a big one, isn't it? So having the conduits for retic, having the conduits for electrical would probably be the two priorities that you'd need. And don't just do one. If you can do, one at each end, it actually makes life a little bit easier for the trades that come on and have to fix it because you don't want them knocking that.
Okay.
And with paving, once you put your paving down all nice, your contractor lays it perfectly, the worst job in the world is pulling up newly laid pavers and putting them back down again. You never get back perfect, so just future-proofing it, thinking long-term, getting it all in before the contractors finish it is a must.
And one thing I will bring up is retaining walls over a certain height. You do need to actually get council approval again. So they are still a structure. So I think it's above 500 mil.
In most,
And then there are, if you're doing your patios that we've just talked about and your patio is actually a raised patio and it's on the edge of a retaining wall and it's over, I think it's 800 mil. It does, we'll have to talk to councils on each, but you have to actually have it. That's why you have the balustrading. So that's a protection for falling off. So there are things to think about with the patio and the landscaping that is all still involved with the council.
Okay, so it's not just let's draw a picture, I'd like this here and there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more planning that goes into it than just throwing a few plants and some papers down.
Exactly. Absolutely. If you're going to do it right, do it right the first time and make sure you plan it out. So, yeah.
So in terms of the plan and the drawings, does the landscaper do that, or do you need a landscape designer to do that and then go to a landscaper?
Yeah, you can do it either or. Mm-hmm. So if I were to do it, you'd probably... I shouldn't say that, sorry. a landscaper could. The contractor can. But if you want like something really fancy, definitely go see a proper designer. Mm-hmm. I think they give you a far more complex and well-rounded design. Mm-hmm. I think just normal landscaping contractors just are really good at just doing the work. But if you need something, you know, fancy with curves and bends and
the retaining walls features, and yes, and screening and fencing and balustrading, that's when the designer definitely is
find
very good.
Find a designer,
at.
Yeah, that's much recommended.
Yep, and again, we've already spoken about how to find the trades. You know, do your research, look at the work they've done. If you like the work they've done, especially with landscaping, if you like the look of the work they've done, then talk to them, because their idea, their way of seeing things, I suppose, in landscaping, their art form, their creativity will be reflected in the jobs they do, because a lot of people like myself, we don't know how to make a garden come to life. So seeing their work and their projects will definitely help you see the type of person you want to work with, because they've already created your dream garden somewhere else, and they will just adjust it to suit you.
Okay, well, let's talk about watching it come to life.
Mm-hmm.
What is the first thing that goes in?
You've got your consultation. Mm-hmm. So you'll go and see the client and you will find out exactly what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way to do that is just making sure the client knows what they want. Sometimes you go and see clients and they've just got no idea, and they and you you spend 2 hours there, you know, chatting about what they want, and you quote them and nothing happens. So knowing what the client wants is really, really important.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the earthworks is normally the
normally you take out before you put in. Because you've got to get all the earthworks right. So, I mean, sometimes you'll be taking earth out rather than putting it back in, if depending on the design.
Yeah.
And then you'd be doing any of your retaining walls first, any of that hardscaping is where you start off first. That would be the first area. So retaining walls would be, the conduits would definitely go in. Then you do your retaining walls and then probably the paving.
Paving. Hardscaping, and then your plants and reticulation.
Mm-hmm. Garden beds would go in before any of the plants as well. So actually, if you're having, you know, designated garden beds or formed garden beds that can be done, brickwork, limestone, there's even that like twin side. I'm using
panel
a word
and
here.
Panel post,
yes, those. So there's also
what was that?
Concrete panel and post retaining system.
Yep,
right.
It's really good. It kind of goes in like a colour bond fencing.
Yep.
You put your posts in, and then your panels just slip in and hold there nice and rigid.
And herb gardens are a big thing at the moment as well. So people want the herb garden and the vertical gardens. Mm-hmm. If you're having that on the wall, planning that out, because you need to get your water to it for the reticulation. So the vertical gardens are very popular at the moment.
Yeah. Okay. So what is on trend at the moment in WA? What is the most popular style people are looking for?
Low maintenance would have
right,
to be
yeah.
one of the biggest things that's always asked for.
No grass.
Right.
Mm.
And exposed agro, I hear a lot of that at the moment too.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, low maintenance, synthetic turf and exposed aggregate.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so synthetic turf, that has come a long way, hasn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. It's really good nowadays. Much, much, much more durable than the early days. And very, very, very popular.
Yes. Well, I've got to admit, we are actually doing a renovation on a property at the moment, and I can tell you now, every trade had to do a second guess, because the actual turf is, it's synthetic turf there. It looks that good, and it's been down for quite a while, that you wouldn't know it was what we call the fake grass until you actually get right up. So I'm having to put, you know, text out to the trades, do not park on the grass because it's not real. So, and they are, and this is out the front, and this is on the canals as well. This is down south on the canals. And all that moisture is so good for that, and it looks fantastic. So
what are the advantages of using synthetic turf?
You don't have to water it.
Yep.
You don't have to mow it.
That's right.
You've got time to enjoy the outside life without having to be in the garden all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks good all the time. There's no brown patches.
Mm.
Even when the dog goes to the toilet, there's no brown patches. The dogs always get in, don't they?
Yeah.
But and this is why it's all low maintenance. People are having busy lives, so they want that low maintenance lifestyle. For me, it's easier just to get a gardener in, so I'm good there. But yeah, they do want the low maintenance, because some people like pottering around in the garden.
Yes.
I'm definitely not one of those. But yeah, it's low maintenance, colour.
That's right.
Splashes of colour out there. Another thing I always recommend is with your fencing, all the hardy fencing and the Super 6 fencing, paint it. Get it to disappear. We spoke about, in the painting section, we spoke about the in and out colours.
Mm.
Painting your fence a nice dark colour.
Woodland grey.
Woodland grey is one. I've seen it done in a beautiful ochre as well.
Yep.
It makes the plants that you put in front of it stand out beautifully. So, yeah. And it makes the fence disappear. You don't really want to see the fence. Mm. So unless it's a really nice, you know, fancy fence, you don't want to see it. So make it disappear, make the plants pop and add that colour then.
Mm. So what are some good plants for WA?
Oh, definitely the natives.
Mm.
They're actually, yeah, very, very colourful and very, very hardy. I was, even when I go to the nursery, each time there's just this massive selection of new native plants, and they're constantly flowering. It's actually quite incredible. Your low shrubs, your high shrubs, your tall ones, your trees, there's always a splash of red on, and they're just tough. You can plant them in winter, and they still pop. Whereas, you know, normal plants are in a sort of dormant phase, whereas the natives are just sort of, they just go great guns. And then when it gets hot in the summer, they just need, water once a week, and they just keep growing.
Oh, so and that's important, isn't it?
It is, because you've got to remember when we were growing up, I suppose, not you, Ryan, but when we were growing up, the English garden was what everyone wanted. The big lawns, the big garden. Now, we don't live in England. We do live in WA. We have a lot of sun. We have a lot of heat.
Mm.
So the actual English garden idea takes a lot of water to maintain, a lot of water and a lot of maintenance here. So going with our native plants helps reduce that. And, I mean, we do have an Australian. Succulents are very popular at the moment as well.
Mm.
So they're things. But the beauty of it is, like for someone like me, talk to the landscaper, talk to your local nurseries. They always have horticulturalists on hand. And there's also even the horticulturalists that will go out there and help you with your planting as well. Mm. So there's so many people to talk to about it, and so many people that can help you maintain it as well. So once it's in, don't forget to maintain it, to keep it looking good.
Well, that's
so,
it.
Yeah, look after it, and it will do you a long term.
That's right.
Benefit. And I guess the positioning of your block is also something that needs to be considered as well in terms of your selection of plants.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, so don't go and put full sun plants on the down the side near the laundry side, in the shade, because they're not going to do so well.
Yeah.
And then don't put your nice golden cane plants in the full sun, because they're just going to brown off and look bad.
But the plants help soften a place. They also help cool it. If you if you plant them right, they can help keep your house cool, because they can shade the house, especially trees as well.
Yep.
So the planning out and design and making sure that the right plants are in the right places.
And is that important? Well, you mentioned the low shrubs and the high shrubs and then the trees. Is it important to have that kind of staggering effect?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where if you speak to the designer, they'll try and articulate. Yeah, you might have a small hedge at the front, and you just work your way up into your feature.
Mm.
So a great one for northern-facing blocks would be a tree that loses all its leaves in winter. That's a really good way to go.
The deciduous trees. And I think that's when they design it so that you've always got colour in your garden, you've always got the greenery. So if you have the deciduous tree during winter, there's going to be plants around the base of it that will flower during winter, so that you still have that pop of colour. So that's the beauty of using a landscaper and a landscaping designer, because they'll help keep your garden alive all year long.
Mm. And those flowers are important for the bees, and to keep
help with the pollination, which we definitely need to keep looking at. And there's so many, like the earthworms and everything like that microcosm, what they call it, in the soil. I mean, it's good for the soil, so it's good to plant. I mean, a concrete jungle isn't a nice, comfortable place to live. The whole point is that when you're renovating, you want it to be the home that you want to stay in, be comfortable in, to chill out in, to relax in, and just to enjoy being there.
And as we've mentioned, we love the outdoors. And we love to be, you know, outside. We've got perfect weather. Well, at the moment, not really.
But even when it's wet, we like being outside.
We do like being outside, yes.
Yeah, so that's why having the cover and having that, you know, the right way. So having the right hardscaping so that you can walk around without walking through, you know, muddy puddles or anything like that. The right drainage and that. It's all part and parcel of it.
Fabulous. Is there anything else we need to know?
No. I think we've covered it.
I think we have, yeah.
Wonderful.
Just if you need help, ask.
Just ask, yeah, like we've always said. All right, well, thank you so much for joining us on Renovating in WA. Sue Daly from Into Property and Ryan Jones from Glow Landscaping, proud station sponsors.
Thank you, Sally.
Thanks.